Would you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to preach a message entitled, Bigger on the Inside. Bigger on the Inside. The story is about a short man who wants to be bigger on the inside. Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1, read with me, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus," or Zacchaeus, what I'm studying today, it means pure. Funny, huh? Zacchaeus, and what he did, but his name means pure. "Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press." We know this by the song, "for he was little of stature." Zacchaeus was a wee little. You can't read this passage without singing that song. Verse 4. "And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." The him and the he is Jesus. Verse 5. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house." I taught this morning to the junior church, and you know in the song we go, "Zacchaeus, you come down." Like we point our finger like Jesus was mad at him, and get down out of the tree, you know. But I told the kids, Jesus wasn't mad at Zacchaeus. I don't think he scolded him, say, "Get down out of that tree, come, you know, we got to go to your house." I don't think it was like that at all. And I'll explain that here in a minute. Verse 6. "Zacchaeus made haste." I see the little man jumping right out of the tree. "He made haste and he came down and received him joyfully." Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. "When they saw it, the multitudes that were with him, they all murmured that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." I can just see them all turning up their noses, can't you? And kind of like, what is he doing? Verse 8. "Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord," maybe because he heard the murmuring, and I'm going to summarize what he said, "I'm not a sinner anymore." Listen to this. I've been changed. "Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord," maybe to justify himself or maybe just to honor Jesus, "behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." I'm different. "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, fraud, I restore him fourfold." I'm different. I'm not a sinner anymore. Let them murmur all they want. I'm different. I'm changed. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. "And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham." I love verse 10. It's highlighted and we've quoted it often. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Praise the Lord, bigger on the inside. I read an illustration about a skeptic named, I guess you pronounce his name, Celsus. I don't really know how to say his name, but he made fun of an early Christian leader. And this is what he said. He said, "When most teachers go forth to teach, they cry, 'Come to me, you who are clean and you who are worthy.' And they are followed by the highest caliber of people available." That's what most teachers say. But he said, "But your silly master," talking about Jesus, you better watch calling him a silly master. "Your silly master cries, 'Come to me, you who are down and beaten by life.'" Hey, I want to stop and say, yes. Praise the Lord. Because if he had called the highest caliber of people, I wouldn't have been in the invitation. I wish I could talk to Celsus for a second, but this early church leader did just fine. "But your silly master cries, 'Come to me, you who are beat down, or down and beaten by life.' And so he accumulates around him the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity." I didn't know what that meant, but I looked it up and I'll tell you in just a second. The church leader replied, "Yes, they are the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity, but Jesus does not leave them that way. He changes them. Rag, tag, and bobtail are," I wrote it down, "ragged, shabby, and riffraff." That guy said Jesus is followed by a bunch of riffraff. Ragged, shabby folks. Instead of the highest caliber people, he's followed by the lowlifes. And the early church father said, yeah, he does reach out and save the ragged and the shabby and the riffraff, but he doesn't leave them like that. Out of material that anybody else would have left behind away as useless, he fashions men, giving them back their self-respect. Praise the Lord. He enables them to stand on their feet and look God in the eyes. They used to be cowed and cringing, broken things, but the Son has set them free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Ragged, shabby, yeah. But Jesus didn't leave me that way. Somebody else left me for useless. That would leave me undone and unconcerned about me. But Jesus loved me. And he pulled me out and gave me my self-respect back. Praise the Lord. And I can look God in the eye because of his Son's mercy and gracefulness and being forgiven and restored. I am set free by the Son. Praise the Lord. So that's pretty good. That's our goal. Our objective is to rescue the ragtag, ragged, shabby folks. That's our job, and that was Jesus' job here. Zacchaeus started out, the story goes like this, that Luke the physician is telling the story. This morning when I told it to the junior church, I left the room. I said, Brother Josh is leaving, I'll see you later. When I come back in, I'm Luke the physician. I put a little badge on. I came in, I told the story from Luke the physician's perspective. And he had heard about this man from maybe the Apostle Paul. I'm not sure maybe where he heard it, but the Holy Ghost inspired him to write this story about this chief tax collector. The Bible says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. We know he's the wee little man. But listen to who Zacchaeus really was according to Luke here. The Bible says he was chief among the publicans or the tax collectors and was rich. He could have been a contractor, but no doubt he had several tax collectors underneath him. And he was a rich man. I think Zacchaeus was probably at the top tier of his profession. He had perfected his way of life, I think. He had fixed his life so that his money-making machine was a machine. And he was receiving large dividends. And as far as the financial aspect goes of his life, his pockets were full and his bank account was full. And that's what he did. But listen, it came at a high cost. I thought about Zacchaeus, though, and I thought that what he did was wrong. I told the kids, Zacchaeus is the cheater leader. That's what he is. He's the leader of the cheats. That's what he is. He's a cheat, cheat, cheater, cheat, cheat. That's what I told him. He's a liar. And when people saw Zacchaeus, they thought, that's a fraud. He's supposed to be one of the children of Israel, but he instead works for the Roman government and he cheats his own brothers and his own nationality to pad his own pockets. And when they looked and thought of Zacchaeus, they thought he's a no good, good for nothing, a liar, cheater, cheat, cheat, leader of the cheats. That's what they thought of him. Terrible. You would not go to dinner at Zacchaeus' house because he'll just rob you blind. He's looking to benefit himself and nobody else. But I thought, you know what? What Zacchaeus had done in his life is not much different than what we did. Listen, let me read you what I wrote down here about Zacchaeus. He had perfected his sin. That's what it was. Cheating is a sin, and nobody that cheats is going to win. Amen? Lying is a sin, and you will not benefit by lying. You might think that by lying you gain something, but listen, sin and the pleasure of sin lasts a very short time. Only living Jesus' way and having a character that is honest like the Lord Jesus Christ will profit you anything. The scripture says that Zacchaeus had perfected his sin to benefit him the most. He had cheated his own people for his own gain. He had overcharged so his pockets could be overstuffed. His sinful practice was now a well-oiled machine. He was in the perfect city for this. He was in Jericho, and I don't want to bore you with a bunch of details about Jericho, but it was a bit highly trafficked trade center where people would come from different directions. He was sitting pretty to rip people off. He stopped feeling, I was trying to think about Zacchaeus, and he stopped feeling convicted years ago. He had to have. You know, that, really, should I act like this? You know, it kind of probably bothered him at first, I would think. You know, oh man, I feel a little bit guilty. It's a little hard to sleep because I'm ripping people off. And is this really right? There had to be a battle in his brain if he's a child of Israel and they knew the laws and they knew righteousness, or should have. But apparently his conscience ran short. He got over it. He got calloused. He had convinced his conscience that it was okay, and actually, it was quite profitable. He was not only a cheater, a liar, and a fraud, but he was chief of all of them. He was the cheater leader. His handshake, I thought about this, his handshake would have meant nothing. His smile would have been deceitful. That's the kind of guy he was. You can't trust him because he'd take advantage of you given the chance. Terrible. What about us? I've never benefited financially from sin, but do you remember your life before Christ? You've done everything you can to set up sin or anything you can to benefit you the best and to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You thought about you and only you. You weren't much different than Zacchaeus. Sin never benefits you, though. Don't forget. Zacchaeus got rich and he earned a high position. He became a lonely outcast among the Jews. Listen, sin looks great. Hey, if you do this, you can make a lot of money. If you do that, you can do it. But listen where sin leaves you up. A lonely outcast. Separated from the Lord, a disgraced, a burnt reputation, a terrible reputation, and lonely, and left feeling like you're good for nothing. He was rich, but he felt like he was good for nothing. How do I know? Because he was still looking for something. He got all the money he could pocket, but he was still looking for something. The soul needs Jesus Christ. You can't fill it with anything else. And listen, after we get saved, it's no different. You don't get saved once and then fill your life full of the world. You get saved and then you fill your life with Jesus Christ. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You're full of wisdom. You're full of faith, and get rid of the world. You don't need that stuff. You know, he really was in a sad, sad shape. But he heard that Jesus was coming. And this is what he said to himself: I need to see him who he is. I've got to see who he is. Now I thought, does he mean that he wants to be able to point out the Lord Jesus in a crowd? You know, there is, I recognize that's Jesus and that's Bruce and that's Ronnie, but that's Jesus. I recognize him. Is that what he wanted? No. I want to see him who he is. I heard that he could heal and teach, but I heard more than that. I heard he's a friend to sinners, because Jesus commonly entered into houses of sinners and ate. And people would look down on him and say, oh, he's a friend to sinners. But to Zacchaeus, a sinner, that was great news. Oh, he's not just a healer who's able to heal. He's not just a teacher who's able to teach. But he'll be my friend when nobody else will be my friend. I need to see him who he is. He receives tax collectors. I'm a tax collector. I'm a cheat. I'm a fraud. I have stolen. I'm a thief. I'm a robber. But oh, I gotta see him who he is. Maybe he'll receive me. My money can't clear my conscience. It can't restore my relationships. But I think this Jesus can. Let me tell you something. Jesus can clear your conscience. Jesus can restore your relationships. I am preaching on the authority of God's word that Jesus is all powerful and he's the restorer. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about one who's been restored. Okay, I can preach about me. I know me. I need to see him, who he is. Zacchaeus just didn't wish to see Jesus though. so he could pick him out of a crowd. He could have looked at Jesus' height, his build, his hairstyle, his eye color, or his dress, but that's not what interested Zacchaeus. He wanted to know him. Jesus would have seen right through a sightseer, though. See, Zacchaeus wasn't a sightseer. He could have gotten up in the tree and all he wanted to do was see. Jesus could have walked, and I think he would have walked right by. Jesus knows the heart of man. He knows who's a heart seer or a sightseer, and he knows who really desire to have a relationship with him. Zacchaeus was not a sightseer. I don't want to be a sightseer. I'm not here to play games and to see Jesus' hairstyle, his eye color, or his build, or anything like that. I'm here because I want to know Jesus, and I want to know him more. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to lay aside everything else, and I want to know Jesus. I don't want to just be a sightseer in church, and I want to know him. I don't want to just be a sightseer in worship. I want to worship him. I don't want to just be a sightseer when everybody else is praying. I want to pray. I don't want to be a sightseer when it comes to the knowledge of God in his book. I want to read it. I don't want to know him. Zacchaeus wasn't a sightseer, or else Jesus would have passed him by. He decided, actually, he's just going to get real undignified about this whole thing. You see, I can't breathe. Bear with me. Zacchaeus got real undignified. There was a press. The Bible says that he was chief among the publicans. He was rich. I picture this guy with a robe and a belt and a bunch of money bags hanging off so heavy it about pulled his belt down. That's what I picture. And I picture him just a-jingling when he walks, but he's real short, so he's jingling low to the ground. And he put his life really at risk that day. Nobody liked him. He was the chief cheater, remember? The leader cheater leader, whatever I said. He knew that if there was a crowd of Jews, he would not be safe. Who do you think wants to give him an elbow or a kick or a step on the toe or anything like that, right? Yeah. He put himself at risk even to go amongst the people, away from authority of the Romans. But Jesus was coming and he had to see Jesus, who he was. And he wasn't there to sightsee or to play games. He was there to get restored. He was there to find somebody who had the answers to his life. So, Zacchaeus got undignified. And he got there. Imagine little Zacchaeus walking up. He heard that Jesus was going to pass by this road in Jericho. He comes up to where Jesus would pass by. And there's a mob of people. The streets lined with folks. Jesus probably had an entourage with him too, but I just picture, you know, Luke used the word as translated press, I think for a reason. There wasn't just a large crowd, but people were crowded. It's a crowded crowd. You ever been in a crowded crowd? I'm talking about you're breathing my air, crowded crowd, you know? Busy, folks toe to toe. You know what I kind of think? I kind of think rumor had that Zacchaeus was coming to this crowd and all of the tall folks stood up a little bit taller because they heard he was back there. We're going to stick it to him. He's not going to see Jesus, I imagine. We don't want him to see. I picture they moved the big guys to the back of the where he was so that they could kind of be protected. Them tax collectors aren't getting up here. Zacchaeus saw the crowd, but that wasn't going to stop him. He knew Jesus was going to pass through Jericho, and he heard about this Jesus. Wonder what made him come up to the crowd. And maybe he would have gotten up to the crowd and thought, I'm just one in the crowd. I'm just another one. I'm just another man amongst hundreds and hundreds of other men. Listen, you're never one in the crowd. You're never a faceless face to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about this. He was seeking the Lord Jesus and maybe felt like one amongst the press of the people. The streets were lined. An entourage was there. It was probably loud. They were probably shoulder to shoulder. But he heard about him. He's the healer of the incurable, right? He's the one that can grant cures to those who can't be cured. He's the teacher that brings illumination. He confounds the wise. But more than that, you know what I think he heard? There was this guy about 15 miles away in Bethany not too long ago that was raised from the grave. His name was Lazarus. Jesus is a healer. He's a teacher and he has some power. So I've got to get through the press. Let him elbow me. Let him step on my toe. Let me get bumps and bruises. I'm going to get to Jesus. Hey, where's our passion? We walk up to the crowd and go, oh, there's a crowd. I'm going to go home. Oh, we get up to the crowd and, oh, I'm short and I can't see. I might as well just go home. Where's our passion to get to Christ? Why can't we be like the woman with the issue of blood and say, I know the only one with the answer, because I've been everywhere else, is Jesus Christ. I've got to touch him. I've got to see him. No matter what, I got to know him. I got to get there. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to get there. I imagine people brought sick so that they could have Jesus touch them. I imagine other guys brought notebooks because they're going to take notes because he's a great teacher. But that's not why Zacchaeus came. He came for something real. The Bible says he was short. I picture little leg Zacchaeus, a bunch of tall leg people. Little legs. He had personal and circumstantial obstacles. You ever been there? You ever had personal obstacles to get to Christ? You ever had circumstances? The crowd was big. His legs were little. But there's no one to blame if he misses this. This is his shot. He can't blame the crowd. He can't blame his legs. This is his shot. Here comes the Lord, and I'm going to get to him. I wish we could be like that. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. It doesn't matter what's in my life. I'm getting to them. Doesn't matter where I failed. It doesn't matter where they failed. It doesn't matter the attitude or influence of the crowd. It really doesn't. I'm going to get to Jesus. No matter what. The other people say, you know, others are in the way. He might have felt like it's impossible, but the Lord was testing the sincerity of his desire. Oh, you say you desire to see me and you desire to know me. Let's see if you're willing to overcome a couple of obstacles. Are we willing to overcome a couple of obstacles to get in the presence of Jesus Christ? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Obstacles, though they come, I'm going to get to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because my entire life depends on it. Amen. Church, your entire life depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. How successful you are, how happy you are, all goes hand in hand with your relationship with Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Amen. His sincerity was true. He wasn't going to stop. The Bible says that little Zacchaeus, high position Zacchaeus, despised Zacchaeus, took off running. Can't you see him? You ever heard somebody walking down the hallway at work with a bunch of change in their pockets? Chinga, 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 chinga. That's what hey, look, it's my sermon. I can preach. I can picture flat-footed little Zacchaeus. Usually the wealthy were a little heavier. This is how I picture it. I'm allowed to picture it like that because they had good food. I picture Zacchaeus, who probably hadn't run very often. Oh, here comes Jesus. Jinga, 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 jinga. Here he goes, running down the street. I picture he didn't know what he was going to do. All I know is I'm too little and the crowd's too big, but I'm going to get there. I picture he goes running to about the spot, and they got these sycamore trees with low hanging branches and low trunks. I picture he kicks off his little expensive shoes. He drops the money bags. And he gets real undignified. He climbs up the tree and gets on that branch like a little schoolboy. What happened to his dignified attitude? Oh, it's gone. Because his soul was anxious to see Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what happened to how he felt about other people? Oh, that was gone. He wasn't worried about other people. He was going to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. He ran and he climbed. Yeah. Hey, who's willing to run and climb? I hate running. But I'm willing to run and climb for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm talking Amen. Spiritually. I'm willing to do what I'm uncomfortable with to grow a little closer to the Lord Jesus. I'm willing to knock off some old habits and be pruned by the Lord and be refined by the Lord's fire to be a little bit closer to the Lord Jesus. I'm willing to climb, right? I'm willing to do something that other people say, that's silly and that's nonsense. Look, going to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and preaching as hard as you can looks like and sounds like nonsense to other folks. Oh, but I'm willing to climb a tree. Amen. Amen. I don't care what others think. That's what I think zipping through Zacchaeus' head. I don't care what others think. I'm not ashamed. I don't fear man. I desire Jesus. Amen. The sycamore tree and his low-hanging branches are my opportunity. There it is. My need is away, and God's given me away. I'm getting up that tree. Who would think of something like that? Somebody who's desperate to see who Jesus and who he is. This is what I like. I picture little Zacchaeus, winded as can be, sweat dripping off his nose like me, hanging onto that branch. And here comes the Lord, and there's a crowd, and it's loud. But he's still, I'm that much closer. I picture him, no balance at all, kind of stepping out on the tree and holding on, squatting down and holding on, just all that he can do. I got to get there holding on. And then he gets startled because the Lord Jesus, he thought he was out of sight. He wasn't out of sight. You're not out of sight tonight. You're not invisible to the Lord. Amen. You just keep holding on. If you climb the tree to see him, you just keep holding on because he's going to see you. He's going to answer. Amen. Right? Hold on. He's going to answer. Amen. Jesus looked up in the tree and he didn't go, Zacchaeus, you come down. We're going to your house. You know, get out of the tree. You're being... I kind of imagine Zacchaeus... Hurry up. Today. We must. It sounded like Jesus was on a mission, didn't it? It sounded like there is urgent business to me. He's crowded around people and people down the road, but he looks up at Zacchaeus' little heart beating fast and sweaty and tired from running and anxious about the people, but determined to see him. And he says, today we must make haste. Here's what I got from that. The anxiety of Zacchaeus' soul was Jesus' priority. Amen. I'm talking to somebody in the room who's got a little bit anxiety of the soul tonight. Somebody whose heart's beating a little bit fast because you need him right now. Jesus looked up and said, make haste today. We must. I hear the anxiety of your soul, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm ready to handle your anxiety of soul. I'm ready to handle your problem, Zacchaeus. I know what it is. I know you well. I know your name. Come on down. And I picture little Zacchaeus jumping down, tripping over his money. You know, real embarrassed about it. I even told the kids that maybe when Jesus spoke his name, at first he backed up on the branch and scooted and hoped that Jesus wouldn't see him because he might have been shameful of who he was or what he had done, but when the Lord said, make haste, come down, Zacchaeus, he jumped down out of the tree, and the Bible says that he received the Lord Jesus joyfully. Amen. I think when he walked down the street, little Zacchaeus had his head back and a big grin on his face because the Lord of heaven and earth wanted to visit him. In fact, he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Then he said, I want to abide with you. Oh, what an invitation that is. Let me come to your house and let me abide with you. The Bible says that he received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was quick to respond. It says he made haste. I think he leaped out of the tree. And I kind of picture him just scooping up his stuff. Maybe he left it there. I don't know. But I just picture him walking almost arm in arm with the Lord, as excited as he could be that the Lord Jesus was going to come with him. He forgot about his shortcomings. He forgot about what he had done because now Jesus was with him. The Bible says when they got to his house that others were murmuring and complaining that Jesus was eating with a sinner. And I kind of stole this already. I kind of told you already, but he said, in essence, I'm not a sinner anymore. Since I've been with Jesus, I'm different now. I don't steal from folks now. I changed my mind. I'm going to follow the way of this Jesus Christ. I don't overcharge anymore. In fact, I'm going to restore, and I'm going to restore more than the law said I should restore. If one would, according to Exodus chapter 22, if one would voluntarily acknowledge that they did the wrong, that they would have to pay a fifth, but he gave a half. I mean, he identified with a very, he thought what he did was very wrong. He recognized the sin, thought it was very wrong, and was more than willing to pay it back. He paid fourfold, the Bible says later. And listen, that was more than the law required. But he said, it doesn't matter. I'm restored. And I'm more than willing not only to pay back, but to give half to the poor. Because my heart is different now that I met the Lord Jesus. Jesus said that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And lost just means in the wrong place. Doesn't mean forever damned or doomed. It means in the wrong place. I was in the wrong place, but the Lord Jesus brought me to the right place. Amen. Zacchaeus was in the wrong place, but at the end of the story, he's in the right place. I have two illustrations to close. The Bible says that, this illustration illustrates what Zacchaeus was going through, I think, about a basketball player. His name was Spud Webb. Do you remember him at all? Spud Webb had the short leg issue that Zacchaeus had. Spud Webb's very little, 5'6". The thing I read, that the average height in basketball was 6'8" or 6'9". Spud Webb was 5'6". He did pretty well in high school. I read that he played 9 years in the NBA, and despite his successful high school career, no major college would offer him a scholarship. So Spud Webb attended a little two-year Midland college and helped lead his team to a national junior college championship. North Carolina State decided to give him a chance, and he led the Wolfpack to a Sweet 16 performance in the NCAA tournament. When he graduated, though, nobody in the NBA wanted to even look at him. He did okay in college, but they thought he'd get killed in the NBA. But finally, the Atlanta Hawks gave him an opportunity to play, and in the first four seasons he played for Atlanta, the Hawks went to the playoffs all four times. Perhaps the greatest moment in his career, I'm going to get to what he said, listen to this. The greatest moment in his career was in 1986 when he was in the slam dunk contest. He competed against players over a foot taller than he was, but at the end, Spud Webb was the champion. He won. It's a good slam dunk contest to watch. Spud Webb, though, gave this testimony when he was asked at the end. Listen to what he said. He said, I used to pray that the Lord would make me bigger when I was in junior high school and senior high. But every time I went to measure myself, to stand in front of the mirror, I'd always be the same size. Short people said amen. Then one day I got the message. So I said to the Lord, if you won't make me bigger on the outside, will you make me bigger on the inside? And the Lord liked that prayer, and that's what has helped me become who I am. I heard a story about Zacchaeus. I don't know if this is true or not, but there's an old fable or a story that says that when Zacchaeus grew old, he lived in Jericho as a humble and devout believer. Think about this. Every morning at sunrise, the story goes, he went for a walk carrying a pitcher of water. Upon his return, he always seemed happy and radiant, and his wife, with usual curiosity, followed him one morning. She saw him go to the sycamore tree in which he was seated when he first saw Jesus passing by. And he poured the water all around the roots of the tree and bowed for a moment of silent prayer. Then, placing his hands fondly upon the trunk of the tree, he smiled in satisfaction and returned home because he determined he wouldn't forget what Christ had done for him. You know what I thought? I read that stuff about Zacchaeus and I read it for junior church. But I thought, boy, I want the Lord to make me bigger on the inside. And it's been a while since I climbed the sycamore tree and I sought, figuratively, I climbed the tree and I sought for Christ. I announced my call to preach in 99. I got saved a year or so before that. It's been a while. But I think it's time for me tonight to go to the brook of the water and get a pitcher and go back to the tree and water the roots and have prayer and say, Lord, thank you for making me bigger on the inside, because that's what you did in my life and that's what makes me who I am today. Everything I am is because of the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful that he saw me and that he heard me and he made haste and dealt with the sin in my heart, and now I'm a man of God. Praise the Lord. Would you all stand? Tonight, I don't know if you have personal or circumstantial obstacles in your way, and you've came to Christ, but you saw a crowd or you saw your shortcomings and thought, well, it's just impossible for me to do this whole Christian thing anyway, and turned around. Maybe if you've done that tonight, I beg you, kick off your shoes and run and climb. Come to the altar of prayer and say, Lord, I need you in my life right now, and I'm just not going to let anything else deter me from this. Let others murmur. Let others say what they will. I want to walk with you and talk with you, and I want you to be the King and Lord of my life. Or maybe tonight you're a Christian who has climbed the sycamore tree, but you've sort of forgotten about it. I pray you would come back and pour water on the roots and get that passion back and get that, you know, remember, I'm not a sinner anymore. Everybody looks and says, oh, Jesus, with you? Yeah, I don't do that anymore. I like to listen to Christian, don't judge me, rap music when I'm working out. John can say amen in the back because he can't stand it. But I like it because I get to hear these guys talking about the lives that they used to have, but they say words like, no, I don't do that anymore. I like to hear stuff like that. And why don't you come tonight and tell the devil, you've been whispering to me that I am a sinner and murmuring that I'm with Jesus, and you just look right back at him and say, yes, I was a sinner, but I'm not a sinner. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm proud of who I am in Christ. I plant my feet upon the rock. I look you dead in the eye, and I say, my mind's made up. I've been to the sycamore tree. Hallelujah. Let's all pray together. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, we've done our best with your message, and we've asked for a word from the Lord from heaven, and I trust you've done that. I prayed for the Holy Ghost. Please, Lord Jesus, now draw people. Move on lives. Give what they needed tonight, Lord, in their hearts. And if someone needs to pray, call them. Make it plain to them. We trust you, Lord, that you're able to handle our lives and that you would make haste to care for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.